today on Real Radio.
My challenge this morning is to get some of you to believe in the fact that there is a dark realm. A lot of people, according to recent polls, say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in a devil. Well, that's impossible, because the very God that you claim to believe in says there's a devil.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Now, even though the Apostle Peter is older, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth these days, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. As we head further into chapter 2, we see how Peter puts the seriousness of what he's saying into three powerful sections. We just finished Eyes On, Ears On, in which we dealt with false ministries and the danger of following what seems so close to the truth, but according to the Bible, are outright lies. Now we'll see how God condemns false teachers who are ruled by Satan by judging their character and deceitful ways. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack reminds us that our enemy is not human and not of this world. There is a spiritual realm outside of our world of physics where light and darkness are in constant warfare over our lives. But there are also angels who rejoice even when one person comes to repentance and chooses to follow Christ. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, as we open up your Bible, as we, your people, gather, Lord, there is this convocation that we take advantage of. We publicly declare and revel in the fact that your Holy Spirit has promised to exalt you, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Holy Spirit is present where the Bible is, and your Holy Spirit is present where your children are gathered together. So, Lord, we thank you that right here, right now, there's this opportunity for us to experience you, and whatever that means, you determine. We do not want to approach church this morning with any preconceived ideas. We want you to be here. You're alive. We are your people. Do with us as you see fit. Keep us from being locked into some tradition or dictating how you ought to be among us. No, Lord, may you dictate to us how we ought to be around you. So, Lord, we worship you now in spirit and in truth. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. And as you remain in 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to get your pens ready for note taking and all. And there should be a note paper in front of you to take notes. But as I said last week in the opening of this argument, what you really need to know, you might counter back and say, do I really need to know that? And I would understand that's a justifiable question, because you can really go online or maybe buy books or whatever and look at this particular portion of commentary or preaching or teaching online, and most Bible teachers just go right over this section and move on. Maybe they're smarter than I am, to be honest with you. Maybe I should do the same thing. But last week we started this section and we got halfway through verse 4. And I think we'll finish verse 4 today. But you might say, are you serious? And the answer to that question is, I am. And it's for this reason. I am wired the way that I am wired. And for me, to ask the question why is a really big deal for me. In fact, how many of you ever raised a 5-year-old? Raise your hand. You ever had a 5-year-old? One of the things that they learn to craft all by themselves is a question that drives parents nuts. And that is, you got it. That is the question why. When you say to them, can you clean up your room? They ask, why? When you tell them to put the seatbelt on, they'll ask you, why? It's this question, why? They're not being rude and they're not being rebellious. They actually want to know. They want to know. And there's nothing worse than for a kid to get this kind of an answer. Get on up here and preach this. Exactly. It's the worst thing you can do is say to them, because I said so. That's why. That's a bad, bad thing. Don't ever do that to your kid. You tell them the reasons why. Why do I need to put my seatbelt on? Because you see your, feel your head, feel it. Grab your head, feel your nose. Okay, pull on your cheeks. You feel that? Yeah. Now listen, feel the windshield. Feel the windshield. Feel that? Your face hitting that windshield is not what mom and dad want to see happen today. We don't want to see you all messed up. Put your seatbelt on. You got to give them an answer. And I believe that when it comes to the Bible. I believe that when you and I come across portions of Scripture in Bible study, that there's a reason why we ought to be very careful. And I've told you before, and I'll say it again, the ancient rabbis taught, and many rabbis today echo this sentiment, and that is, not only does every word matter, and you know, Jesus said that, right? Every word that has been given will not pass away till all is fulfilled. But the ancient rabbis believe that when Messiah comes, he will not only interpret the words, he will interpret the spaces in between the words. And I like that. And so we go as fast or as slow. And so today we are looking at this very unusual portion of Scripture, all with the intent to open you up to the understanding that you and I live in a spiritual world that's played out in physical realm, and that you are in one side of that group, of light or of dark, of evil or of righteousness. There's no common or gray area with God. And so in our previous study, you know, remember, we looked at the fact that this chapter is broken up into three sections, and those three sections are important to us. We saw the conduct of false teachers, false ministries, false believers is there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. That's their conduct. And then in verses 4 through 9, which we find ourselves now, we are looking at their condemnation. This condemnation is the judgment of God. And then the closing arguments, they're found in verses 10 to 22, and that is, what are their characteristics? These false teachers, these religious people who are, frankly, demonically inspired and energized. So church, remember, we saw this. What you and I really need to know is the fact that our enemy is not human. Our enemy is not human. And we saw the first opening of the fact that they are spirit beings. Can you write that down if you missed it last time? You and I live in a world that intermingles with spirit beings, spiritual creatures. That there's a world that is in collision, as it were, of physics as you and I know it, and a different realm of physics. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But we saw in verse 4 that it says, for if or since God did not spare the angels who sinned. You circle the word angels. The word angels here is not the word demons. It's the word angel, which means messengers. This is a rank of spiritual creatures. The Bible gives us rankings of spiritual entities. And the Bible here says, and we looked at it, that these spirit beings, some of them sinned against God. And not only did they sinned such a sin that they are confined. Whichever ones did this type of sin that we looked at last time and we'll touch on a little bit again, they were rapidly, immediately, as it were, celestially arrested and taken to the place called Tartarus. Tartarus is a fascinating word. Peter used it. It's very rare to be used in the New Testament. It's not a Hebrew word. It is a word taken out of Greek mythology. Peter used it, but of course Peter was being used by the Holy Spirit. Tartarus. It's a place that these fallen angels went, and they were confined to a compartment each of them. Tartarus is a place where it's shrouded in imprisonment. It's hard for us to grasp this. It's a place where they are spiritually chained. These fallen angels are so wicked that they are spiritually locked up and not allowed to be loose. God will not allow it. They're so bad, he won't let them loose. By the way, read the fine print of the Bible. There's coming a day during the tribulation period. What does he do? God lets them loose. And wow, we won't talk about that right now, but the fact that our enemy that is against us is not human, but in fact spirit. And we learned that they were referred to, angels that is, in the Old Testament, exclusively being referred to as sons of God. Sons of God. That kind of blows people's minds, but the Old Testament refers to angels as sons of God. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job 1, 6 says, "For there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." So you have this high-ranking, angelic creature, Lucifer or Satan, and he's trafficking in and among the host of heaven, the angelic host, and they're referred to as the sons of God in the Old Testament. Job 2, verse 1 says there again, "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." Almost verbatim, Job 1, 6 and Job 2, 1. Sons of God. Job 38, verse 7. "When the morning stars sang together," this is about creation. You can read Job 38 in totality later. When God had created the universe and all material matter, the Bible tells us the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The angelic host shouted. Isn't that amazing? When they saw creation happen. It'd be kind of neat to see that. I don't know if we're going to know that in heaven. I don't know if we're going to see that kind of replayed in heaven or not. But pretty cool stuff. So church, here we go. We're diving in now to verse 4, moving on. And that is this. What you and I really need to know is the fact that our enemy's not human. And number two, know this, that they are from, mark it, the other realm. Will you mark that down? I made this very specific. Notice what I'm not saying. I didn't say they're from another realm, because if you have another realm, you can have a third one, a fourth one, and an infinite number of realms. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that there's two realms. There's the one of light and dark. There's the one of good and evil. And the end result is heaven or hell. And so they are from the or the other realm, a world in which there is power, to say the least, an agenda. The Bible from cover to cover talks about this other realm. And it's a realm of great warfare, the Bible says. Great joy, great praise, great warfare, great expense, great cost. Now, my challenge this morning is to get some of you to believe in the fact that there is a dark realm. A lot of people, according to recent polls, say, "I believe in God, but I don't believe in a devil." Well, that's impossible, because the very God that you claim to believe in says there's a devil. "Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in Satan." Well, what are you saying? Jesus himself confronted Satan, and Satan attempted to cheat and deceive you out of your salvation by tempting Christ numerous times recorded in the Bible. It goes on in verse 4. Look into your scripture there. It says, "And that God delivered them into chains of darkness." The sin that they committed took them into a realm of great darkness, of great confinement. And so we wake up to the reality that there is this realm of warfare, this realm that exists, and it's very powerful and energized. Now, I'm gonna give you an illustration that probably three of us are gonna get. But it's in my head, and so I wanna. Last week, we all ran home from church to watch the Kansas City Chiefs destroy the 49ers. So, that's right. So, why do I bring that up? Did any of you own electric football sets? Raise your hand if you had an electric football set. You young people, look around. You need to see some of these wise and anointed people. In the old days growing up, it was one of the best things ever. I guarantee you, I make you a promise. If you're a young adult or young kid, person, whoever's in your life, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, if they have a cell phone or some device, take it away from them and give them an electric football set and they won't miss their phone one moment. I don't understand it. Should we not bring those toys back? Yeah, and all God's people said? Amen. I'll tell you the reason why. It's amazing. First of all, great detail. I remember I had the Rams, and I had the Rams and I had the 49ers. Do you remember the footballs? They were little pieces of felt, remember? And you would put it in the running back. Remember the running backs like this? Remember? The quarterbacks like this? Do you remember? Remember the guy, you put the little felt ball there, and you'd grab the kicker's leg, and you pull it back, and you let it go, and it go, and it would kick. Remember that? You set them all up. And then you would take that switch, do you remember? And you turn on the switch, and the field came alive. It vibrated, and all the players are blocking and moving, and sometimes the guy, remember, your guy's going, he's going, and then he would just turn right around, and he'd go somewhere else. It was absolutely crazy. It was so much fun. Listen, you want to make some money? Get that game back on the shelf, and I'll buy 10 of them right now. What's my point? You and I, according to the Bible, are living in this realm where there is a war coming from light and there's a war coming from dark. And the switch is thrown and life appears on this grand stage in this world. And what's happening is that heaven and hell is at stake. And the field is energized and the players begin to move. And you're moving in life right now. In some way, shape, or form. As a believer, if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of hell. Think of it. Isn't that great? I pray all the time that if Satan and his troops were to drive down the street here in cars, that they would just shiver when they drive by because there's all of this light that's here. But we're actually living, it's being played out in the physical realm, and I don't think that should fool us. You know, interesting, if you want to be very basic about this, the fact that God created all things, things seen and things unseen. The Bible says that God created things that are visible and invisible. And when you think about physics is really the arrangement of matter. Matter. This podium is an arrangement of matter. You are an arrangement of matter. That's called physics. But scientists tell us that there's antimatter. There's matter in the reverse. There's a lot of books written about this. There's a lot of theories on this. Dark matter, antimatter. And what is that? What is that? Scientists are telling us that there's a world out there that is molecularly different than the physical universe that you and I observe. And theoretically, there could be another world going right through this sanctuary right now, completely oblivious of one of another, because we are in a different molecular alignment. Are you hearing me? This is wild, but it is theoretically and maybe even scientifically true that if antimatter is doing what it does, it could pass through this room and you'd never know it. And that shouldn't surprise you in a sense, because if you could see the radio waves that are passing through this room right now, did you know that? There's all kinds of music, there's talk shows, there's TV, there's all kinds of broadcasts going all the way through. So I want you to open your mind to the fact that all around you, you're surrounded with information. And you and I are so accustomed to this realm of physics that we fail to think of the invisible realm. And God says the invisible realm will outlive this physical one that we know of. That the spiritual antimatter, as it were, if you allow me to say it. The spiritual realm, its longevity is far greater than this physical realm. I've offered up this man's quote before. It's worth repeating. Robert Jastrow, astronomer, astroplanetary physicist, once the director of NASA's Goddard Space Center. Robert Jastrow wrote this, highly respected scientist. He wrote, and I read, "For the scientist who has lived by his faith," notice his verbiage, I like the way he talks. "For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountain of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. He pulls himself over the final rock, and he's greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries." In the context of creation, Jastrow was speaking, in the context of God and science. It's very powerful. Which should open up our eyes to the reality. As uncomfortable as it might be, it's true nonetheless. In Daniel 4, verse 13, the Bible tells us, "I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven." The word watcher is a spirit entity, a spirit being. Some scholars will tell you that the watcher is a holy angelic watcher. And that certainly is true. But some scholars will tell you that Daniel is recording to you the fact that what was happening is that there was a holy one, which is also a reference to an angel, and there's a watcher, which is a reference to the bad team, the dark side. Now, what's interesting about the book of Daniel and other places, we know, for example, in Daniel chapter 9, that in the atmosphere over the region of Persia today, it's mentioned Iran, Persia in the Bible, same location. The Bible tells us that over Persia was a demonic, angelic war taking place, that the angel that was coming to answer Daniel was delayed. How many days? Anybody remember? 21 days he couldn't break through the war that was in the atmosphere, spiritually speaking, to get Daniel the answer because of demonic forces. That's what the Bible says. Here's the challenge. Do you believe that or not? Because we don't like to believe that. That there's powers in play. That there's things like that happening. But the Bible says there is always watchers. According to the Bible, watchers and angels are always involved, always monitoring human activity. For one thing, here's proof. Luke 15:10 says, Jesus said it, "Likewise, I say to you this, that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Did you know that? When one sinner comes to Christ, angels rejoice. That means they are witnesses, correct?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Well, as we can clearly see, knowing what Scripture has to say about living the Christian life is essential if we want to be victorious over Satan and the lies that come out of false ministries. But if you're not sure how to go about studying the Bible, we'd love to help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the Tools icon. Now, once you're there, click on How to Study the Bible. It's really that easy, and we're sure you'll find the basic tips that Pastor Jack lays out very helpful. So head over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Be sure to click on the Tools icon and then click on How to Study the Bible. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.